in the 60s, we had picket lines and mass meetings, and I'd attend every one of them. And we had people that would call me and tell me to get places to bury him. They was going to kill him. They burned crosses around the house. They called people, stopped people on the road and asked them where W.W. Law living. They get the phone number and would call me. He'd be out of town and tell me I better get a place to bury him because they was going to kill him. And so a lot of nights I would be up in my bed upstairs and beacon lights would shine at my window just going by backwards and forwards. And we had a very nice preacher around on the next street, but she, on 36th Street, but she would burn crosses around there and all, and I would call him for assistance because he would be out of town because it would frighten me so. And so then he would call and have people, policemen, to guard the house. They said it was going to kill me in there if I didn't tell where he was at. And when he would come back, I'd explain it to him. And he would tell me, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Because he had training in the army he had never used yet, and he would use it, not me, for me not to worry about nothing. But they would still do it. Some days he'd come from work with the cross, the burnt cross, where they burned it, some we work at on the shoulder. I think we got it out there right now. And I just went through so much, baby. But I prayed and asked God to help me to go through it and take care of my child, because he was all I had. Mm-hmm. We would have picket lines, and every day I would fix sandwiches and drinks and carry down there, because the children would come from school. We older people, they would walk till they come from school, and some of them would walk all day. And the children would come down there, and I would have sandwiches and cokes and drinks for them, you know. Every day. We even put the people out of business. They moved somewhere else, but they couldn't make nothing. And we had picket lines at night to the all-night stores and things. That's where we got the chance to have colored people to be cashiers. They don't appreciate it now, but we worked hard for it. And then we would have these mass meetings on Sunday every afternoon, and the churches would be packed. Everybody was so interested in it. And we went to some churches that was small. All the people couldn't even get in the churches. They'd be hanging on the windows and things to try to hear. And we would have boycotts of stores downtown, and they'd tell the people not to go. Some, you know, it's hard-headed, they would go.
Yeah.
But the people would come back and tell us. One preacher went down there and bought him an expensive hat, and the people caught him and beat him up and tore up the hat. He's dead now. And we went through so much, honey.
Was that Mac Miller?
Yeah, Reb Mac Miller. They beat him up, you remember? Teachers would go to the store and buy, and people come back and tell us at the mass meeting whether the people would get after them or anything.
So, when you were living here and they were threatening your...
I wasn't living here.
You weren't living here?
209 Slaughter Street, a two-story house, and my bedroom was upstairs, and the living room and dining room was downstairs.
Were you?
And they those big old bright lights of this flash up in my bedroom.
In your bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
And did they threaten you as well as your son?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Did they ever actually attack the house, or did they just...
Well, they never did attack the house, but they burned crosses around there. And what you call effigies?
Effigies, yeah.
Uh-huh. Effigies, they have him hanging up there and burning him an effigy and things. They have all that.
Mm-hmm. An effigy of your son?
Mm-hmm. W.W. Law.
Mm-hmm. And the only protection you got was from the pastor nearby?
Yeah, the pastor near, because he was working with us during the struggle. He's dead now. Mm-hmm. And nothing tell me but to call him, and he call, and he give me assistance, because he gets the policemen to come around there, because I'd be scared to death when they call and tell me they're going to kill me and thing and mm-hmm. have no... I never seen light so bright to flash across my window to escape a burned eye and flash.
And did the police come when you called them?
Yeah, he stopped them.
They stopped them?
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the pastor who lived?
Reverend Ralph Mark Gilbert.
That was Reverend?
First African Baptist Church.
And he was the one that helped you all the way?
He was working with us in the NAACP.
But you never felt like giving up ever?
No, I just pray God to take care of me and my son, and he answered my prayers
yeah.
because I'm still here. I'm going on 91 years old now, and I'm still here.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yes. That was in my 60th year. God has been with me and him.
The whole way through.
But the next day after I tell him about how the harassment tell me to get a place to bear, and I was crying, he said, Mama, don't cry. He said, because I have training, I had an army that I never use, and I'll have to use it.
Mm-hmm. But did he have to use it?
No. We boycott all the stores to get people, the high colored clerks and things in the stores.
Mm.
We on Sunday, we have these big mass mm. meetings, everybody mostly, but was in the restaurant and it would be there. And we put on a boycott for nobody mm. to go downtown and buy nothing.
Mm.
And they wouldn't. And on when time for Easter, everybody wear dungarees and things. They didn't buy no Easter clothes.
They wore their old clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We went through a struggle, but
yeah.
thank God we made it. I never dreamed I'd be here till now.
Yes.
But I'm here, thank
God.
So
it was worth everything.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
And you see all the stores got colored clerks and things.
Yes,
nothing but white was in it.
Right.
Poor colored people can get nothing hardly to.
Right.
Don't care what kind of education you had. Well, we had all those mass meetings.
That's correct.
And they started this wanted the school to be integrated.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Stale. Mm. He was the pastor, and was Esther Garrison, and they even signed a petition because they had children that wanted to go to school, and they fought for integration during that time too. And that's the time they integrated the schools. Uh-huh. And that's why when we had the picket lines, the children to the school would come. This Robinson, he was one of the boys who used to come down there and help the picket line. They would stop the people before they get to the stores and things. And we had some men was very rude down there. They wanted to cut the people's ties and things, but they wouldn't allow them to do that. The NAACP wouldn't allow them to do it. They were so mad when the people go to the store. And they would offer to run the cut the tie to keep them going in the stores.
Really?
But they would walk them lines all day. And about 11 o'clock, this man would come in the car and get me and take me down there with the food for the children, because the children come from school. They help old folks, because they'd be walking all morning. They'd come and walk in the afternoon and help us out.
So you would bring them the food to
yeah.
sustain
well,
them through
the sandwich and drinks. Bottles of drinks, cases of drinks.
Who would make the food? Would that be you? Did you make
I would make the sandwiches and can.
So you would spend the early morning making the sandwiches?
And around 12 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Robinson and Mr. Tennyson, they would come and get me with their cars and can meat, because that was way downtown, near B Street, B and Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And the people was picketing. If somebody go in the store and get groceries, they had a man in the store would come to the bus line, but didn't have cars.
Mm-hmm.
But the people would stop them. So all of them men are dead now. What mm-hmm. used to help them colored people used to work the bargain corner.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are dead now.
Mm-hmm. And how many years did you pick it? Was it a short time or a long time?
It was a long time. It was a long time.
And did you come out victorious in the end?
Yes, we won. We got some souls, one soul right down Henry and Montgomery, the big market. The man had his own cows and killed them. They had nice meats. They put them out of business. Mm-hmm. They had to close the store, and they was able to open again.
Was that Alex Super Duper store?
No. Alex Super Duper, no. That was Shaw's Market I'm talking about.
Right.
They never had been able to open up again. They had a little store up on Henry Street that Mother used to run. Nobody would go in that.
Mm-hmm. And it was at this time as well that the lights would carry on shining in your rooms.
Hmm?
The lights would be shining in your room at this time as well.
Yeah, all that was during the Depression, the time when they were fighting for freedom. Because they were after my son.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of times he would be going to the big meeting in New York when they would be doing that, see.
Yes, well, that's true.
And they got the schools integrated. They got the stores everywhere, high-end colored clerks. They couldn't get no jobs like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank God, and he's still here, and I'm still here.
That's the good news.
Mm-hmm. Well, stop giving money to the church.
No, start
at the beginning. Yeah.
Hmm?
Start at the beginning.
Well, when we're having meeting, I don't know, I guess it's some of the church preachers were scared or something.
They're going to bomb that church. They're scared they're going to bomb that church. It says on fire.
That's right. So finally, I kind of slipped my recollection.
The meetings became so popular that people took great pride in holding the freedom. NACP
men had no trouble getting the churches
then. Right.
No trouble getting the churches.
But there were two or three large churches, and the most prominent of them was the Tremont Temple Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
with Reverend J.M. Benson.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Hey, white folk ain't gonna bomb my church." And so he wouldn't let the mass meetings be there, and they were being held all over the town and to overflow crowds, and the churches that had balconies, upstairs sections, that were never occupied, hadn't been occupied in years, were being filled up with people.
Yeah,
no room for them.
I told him about Fulton Street, how the people
right.
was hanging
yeah.
in the windows and things.
Yeah, but even at First Africa, Tabernacle, all of them, they were, and so the people were getting proud, church members, that the mass meetings were being held at their churches. And here was this big church at Park Avenue in Westboro, where the preacher said, "No, they ain't gonna meet here." So the women who were active in the NAACP, led by Miss Ethel Luton, decided that they would do something about that. If the preacher couldn't support the freedom movement, they would stop putting money in the collection place. And so they, each Sunday, they would withhold their money, and the collection dropped down so low until the preacher called a meeting with them and said, "You know, I've just been thinking, you can have a meeting any Sunday you want." And it was at that point we started meeting in the church, and the women started putting their money back in the collection place.
And the schools downtown had credit cards out, and, you know, colored people, they had plenty of them, and they called at the meeting at Bolton Street Baptist, they called for everybody that had charge cards to throw them in the man. They got baskets full of charge cards. The cards, they stopped crediting things. There was no way for them to buy nothing. You didn't spend no money and didn't get nothing on credit downtown. That's the truth, is that people.
On the first mass meeting, they took all their credit cards, dumped them at our feet at the pulpit. We picked them up in baskets and carried them down Monday morning and dumped them in front of the store window. Store. And children did not, and people did not go back to those stores.
I heard they even started throwing them down from the balcony.
Oh, yes.
Yes, all over the street.
Wasn't it right that Didn't he say that we must boycott the stores, and then spontaneously people started throwing down the cards from the balcony?
Yeah.
Yes, didn't go to no colored people and go around town.
And to this day, I regret that I don't know the young man. He was a soldier out here at Hunter Field. But he took the responsibility of gathering up all the charge cards and seeing that they were delivered to the store the next morning. They must shift him out of here shortly after that, but I've never known his name.
Everybody was anxious to hear, of course.